Why did you buy that unnecessary kitchen gadget at 2 a.m. or agree to attend a party you had zero interest in? Welcome to the fascinating world of persuasion psychology, where invisible triggers guide our choices without our awareness. These mental shortcuts, which Robert Cialdini calls weapons of influence, operate like hidden buttons that, when pushed, produce almost automatic compliance. The insights emerge from Cialdini's 3-year immersion as an undercover researcher among compliance professionals, car dealers, telemarketers, and fundraisers whose livelihoods depend on getting people to say yes. What he discovered was both illuminating and disturbing. Our decisions are far less rational than we believe. We rely on psychological shortcuts that evolve to help us navigate complexity, but can be weaponized against us by those who understand them. Think about the jewelry store owner who accidentally doubled the price of turquoise jewelry that wasn't selling, only to find it sold out the next day. The customers, using the mental shortcut that expensive equals valuable, suddenly found the items irresistible. Or consider how people in line for a copy machine were equally likely to let someone cut ahead, whether they said, "because I'm in a rush," or merely, "because I need to make copies." The word "because" itself triggered automatic compliance, regardless of what followed it. Ever wondered why supermarkets offer free samples? This taps into reciprocity, our deep-seated obligation to repay what others provide. This rule is so fundamental that it exists in every known society, evolving from early humans' need to safely share resources with the expectation of future returns. When leveraged for influence, this social mechanism becomes a powerful persuasion tool. The Hare Krishna Society proved this by giving airport travelers unwanted flowers before asking for donations. Recipients often gave despite disliking the gift. Reciprocity works regardless of whether we wanted the initial favor. Studies show that giving subjects sodas increased compliance with requests. One soda boosted compliance by 65%, two by 107%. A clever variation is the rejection-then-retreat technique, making a large request followed by a smaller one. The apparent concession triggers reciprocity, making people more likely to accept the smaller request, which was the true aim. Once we make a choice or take a stand, we face strong internal and external pressures to remain consistent with that commitment, even when it works against our interests. A New York Beach experiment demonstrated this powerfully. People who agreed to watch someone's things actively chased down stage thieves, while those without this prior commitment rarely intervened. The Chinese military leveraged this principle during the Korean War with American prisoners. They started with small requests, like acknowledging minor problems with America, gradually escalating to full anti-American propaganda essays. Many prisoners eventually believed their own writings. Several factors strengthened commitment: written statements, public declarations, personal effort, like fraternity hazings, and especially the belief that we chose an action freely rather than through external pressure. This explains why car dealers use the lowball technique, offering an attractive price to secure commitment before raising it. Many customers still buy at the higher price because they've already internally committed to the purchase. TV shows use laugh tracks because they work. Audiences laugh more at jokes when accompanied by canned laughter. This demonstrates social proof. We determine what's correct by observing others' behavior. Social proof is strongest when we're uncertain and among people similar to us. This explains the bystander effect. During emergencies, people look to others to gauge the situation. If everyone appears calm while seeking cues, no one acts. This pluralistic ignorance contributed to Kitty Genovese's murder, where neighbors heard her screams but didn't call police, each assuming others would act. The consequences can be deadly. Research shows publicized suicides trigger increased suicide rates in similar demographic groups, with victims often copying the method. The Jonestown tragedy, where over 900 followers died drinking cyanide-laced Kool-Aid, demonstrates social proof's extreme power. Isolated and uncertain, followers became highly susceptible to social cues, creating a cascade of fatal compliance. Tupperware parties succeed because we prefer saying yes to people we like. The success comes from friend hosts making requests, not from product demonstrations themselves. Several factors drive liking. Physical attractiveness creates a halo effect where good-looking people are seen as having other positive traits, doubling their persuasiveness. We also favor those similar to us in opinions, background, or lifestyle, which salespeople leverage by finding commonalities. Even obviously insincere compliments work because we tend to like those who like us. Car salesman Joe Girard became highly successful simply by sending "I like you" cards to customers. Contact and cooperation build liking when people work toward shared goals, though competitive situations can increase tensions. School desegregation cases showed both outcomes: prejudice in competitive environments, but positive relationships through cooperation. Association links people to positive or negative things regardless of logic. This explains why we dislike bearers of bad news and why companies use celebrity endorsements. Sports fans demonstrate this by saying, "We won, but they lost," claiming success while distancing from failure. Why would experienced nurses prepare to administer dangerous medication doses based on a phone order? This reveals authorities' extraordinary power over behavior. Stanley Milgram's famous experiments showed this clearly. 65% of subjects administered apparently lethal shocks when instructed by an authority figure in a lab coat. These weren't cruel people, just ordinary individuals overwhelmed by authority. Three key symbols trigger automatic deference. Titles carry immense weight, often exceeding actual expertise. People introduced as doctor are perceived as physically taller than without the title. Con artists exploit this using impressive but unverified credentials. Clothes convey authority through uniforms and professional attire. People more readily follow well-dressed strangers and comply with requests from those in uniforms versus casual clothes. Trappings like luxury cars and expensive accessories command respect. Drivers wait longer before honking at luxury cars than economy models blocking traffic. The real danger is authority's ability to bypass rational thought. When confronted with authority symbols, we often respond automatically rather than evaluating actual expertise, making us vulnerable to imposters. The scarcity principle demonstrates that opportunities seem more valuable when less available. We judge scarce items as higher quality and resist losing access to them, a psychological reaction that begins in childhood. Sudden scarcity is especially effective. When BMW announced longer delivery times in West Germany, orders dramatically increased, causing wait times to triple. People consistently react more strongly to losses than equivalent gains. Competition intensifies scarcity's impact. Shoppers not only bought more limited beef, but doubled purchases when told this information wasn't widely known. Restrictions increase desirability and credibility. Censored information, like excluded court testimony, carries extra weight. Banned books and films become both more attractive and persuasive, explaining the Romeo and Juliet effect, where parental opposition often strengthens teenage relationships.